Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 10. Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text 15. The meter. Is it Brahma Samhita? Kamam prayahi jahi vishravaso vameham. Trilokya ravanam avap nuhavira patnim. Madni hisetam ihate yashaso vitatriyai. Gayanti dig vijani vijajino yam upetya bhupa. Kamam prayahi jahi vishravaso vameham. Trilokya ravanam avapnuhi virapatnim. Vadni hisetam ihite yashaso vitatyai. Gayanti dig vijayino yam upetya bhupa. Kamam. As you like. Prayahi. You may go over my water. Jahi. Just conquer. Vishravasa of Vishrava Muni. Avameham. Pollution. Like urine. Trilokya. For the three worlds. Ravanam. The person known as Ravana. The cause of weeping. Avapnuhi. Regain. Vira. O great hero. Patnim. Your wife. Badnihi. Just construct. Setum. A bridge. Iha. Here on this water. Te. Of your good self. Yashasa. Fame. Vitatyai. To expand. Gayanti. Will glorify. Dik Vijayana. Great heroes who have conquered all directions. Yam. Which bridge? Upetya. Coming near. Bopaha. Great kings. Translation, my lord, this is Samudra, or the lord of the ocean, speaking to Lord Ramachandra. My lord, may you use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please, go, kill him, and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. Oh, great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please, construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame upon seeing this wonderful, uncommon deed of your lordship. All the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that a sun and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a sun is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for beginning a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Pretty harsh. Here, Ravana is compared to urine because he was the cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. Paragraph. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences, but to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvataha chakpa deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. So those of you that are not familiar with our temple room, the morning Bhagavatam class fills your eyes with floods of sunlight, and you have to sometimes reposition yourself because the sun moves. But it's a great opulence. And we received some good news yesterday. We thought it might get blocked by some fellow who wanted to extend the building next door, but looks like it's not going to happen. Yay! So, Krishna put us in danger, and then Krishna lifted us from danger. Who knows, he may make it look like danger again. Let's see what happens. Never a dull moment with Krishna. even the events leading up to this section can be bewildering. That is Lord Ramachandra the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not? And if he is, then why is he by the bank of the ocean undergoing austerity and prayers that the ocean can help him get to Lanka? Sounds like he's dependent and the ocean is his superior. Well, that's not the case, and it's demonstrated by what the ocean says in response. But interestingly, the ocean didn't come right away before the Supreme Lord because, well, why? Because he was proud of his prowess. And when you're proud of whatever something that you have that came from Krishna, you can't recognize Krishna because that would interfere with your pride. So pride blocks. Or attachment to the temporary in any feature, the pride blocks. When Muchukunda saw Krishna, he was Krishna's devotee. And when he saw Krishna, he couldn't tell it was Krishna. When Jambavan saw Krishna in this cave, he couldn't see Krishna as he is. Because attachment to the temporary, in the case of Jambavan, he was angry. He was protecting his family. He was attached to the family. So much so that his worshipable Lord, he couldn't see. He saw, but he couldn't see properly. Just like us. We have the name, and we have the deity, and we have Vaishnava Sangha, and we have elements of transcendence, and we don't see. Why? Because affinity for the temporary. So the section, that the emphasis that Prabhupada is placing in the purport is that we should, well, it's two things, but we should not make the mistake of accepting someone who is not God as God. And then the converse is accepting somebody that is God is not God. Over and over and over in Srila Prabhupada's purports, in various ways, this emphasis is made. I was particularly appreciating recently with Krishna Janmashtami, from both the Bhagavatam and particularly even Krishna book, chapter 2, prayers of the demigods to Krishna within the womb. What the emphasis again and again is Krishna is not ordinary. Krishna is not ordinary. Krishna is not ordinary. And one of the, like the Bhagavad Gita references, the universal form, Virat Rupa, Krishna demonstrated, Arjuna requested Krishna to demonstrate, exhibit, so that others in the future could be challenged. You say that your God show your universal form. Or here in this purport, another that he would commonly refer to, right here in this purport, Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill when he was 7. I mean, at any age, lift Govardhan Hill. But when he was 7, and not only when he was 7, it was with his left hand instead of his right hand. And not only was it with his left hand, the little finger of his left hand. For 7 days, not only lifted it. Now, those that are not faithful, I received a letter just yesterday, part of what's inspiring speaking the way that I'm speaking this morning. Received a letter yesterday from a devotee that's been practicing Krishna consciousness for 18 years, and asked, is it, you know, I'm coming clean with you. I have doubts about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, I'm doing the practices, but somewhere in there is this uncertainty. Not like strong, like I want to leave service to Krishna, but just honest, right? That doubt is there. Then how do I overcome that doubt? So how does one have faith? And, you know, very simple, how does one get bhakti? How does one have faith? By associating with those who have bhakti, or associating with those who have faith. But there also has to be, you know, it fits in with our counseling seminar, there has to be a willingness to not like get faith, but a willingness to know, a willingness to be in a position of clarity. So I wrote back to this devotee, really the problem isn't there's insufficient resource. The problem is how sincerely, you're a sincere devotee, but sincerely, what is your, it's like the, you know, who am I? What is your position in terms of who you are and, you know, a transcendental or spiritual conception of who you are? It's at least in principle. And then who you are certainly is in relation to the source of everything, Krishna. But some part of self-realization is to know Krishna in truth. During Prabhupada's appearance day, I was sharing this a couple of times, different audiences. Long story short, Prabhupada expressed his mission. Swamiji, why have you come to this country? You must have some message for the people of this country. I want to teach you who you are, because you have forgotten. And to teach you who you are isn't in isolation from our source of emanation or from Krishna. Who we are is in relation to Krishna. So how much do we want to know? How much do we want to be comfortable? And how much do we want transcendental consciousness? So adjusting things within the material world so that we're comfortable, or the sense of temporary happiness, attachment to the temporary, and find that's happiness, or another kind of happiness, transcendental happiness that doesn't fade, it only increases. And with that comes another dynamic, a little bit like Anasuya's question yesterday about on the one hand training and education, and the other hand a genuine quality of devotion that develops the ability to do whatever we need to do for Krishna because Krishna gives it. Kind of in support of that notion, I've shared this a number of times before, but one of the devotees who was an artist, the early days, Prabhupada requested devotees, some of whom had never taken an art class or held a paintbrush in their hand, to paint paintings. And they tried, and they looked funny because they didn't know what they were doing. And then so one devotee asked Prabhupada, should we take art classes? And Prabhupada said, no. Lord Brahma has designed this body in such a way that if you do something in devotion for Krishna, Krishna will give the ability. So the devotee and their associates didn't go to art classes, but later they took art classes. And because inside was the aspiration, sankalpa, the intention of glorifying Krishna for the service to the founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, their artistic skills bumped up a whole bunch. So it's not one versus the other. It's a false dilemma. The essence is not the skill or the education. The essence is the desire to be with Krishna, or desire to know Krishna, desire to receive from the cyclic succession that attraction for the all attractive. And although in theory we accept he's all attractive, we're distracted by the temporary and our desires to be the enjoyer of it in some different ways. Each one of us. Very unique, customized Maya. So, back to the verse. On the one hand, when Krishna shows, or Ramchandra here is showing something extraordinary, what do people who are not faithful say? Mythology. How can you accept this? And they'll, you know, persons that are blunt, they'll say it. Persons that are mean, they'll criticize. You know, but they don't get it. They can't get it. They have no interest to get it. They want to, it's like protecting their situation and connecting with our counseling course. I think each one of us that are here have had the experience that there are persons that don't really, I've had the experience anyways, persons that don't really want to get over the situation. If the situation changes, they'll find another situation to be distressed about. Because like they're comfortable being distressed. They gotta find a distress thing to be distressed about. Just like healing in medicine, a really critical element for any medical practitioner is the person wants wellness. And when a person just gives up, there's nothing the doctor can do, whatever the medicine and treatment. It's just, I'm emphasizing the importance of the receiver of the message of the Bhagavatam, that I really want to know. Not that I really want to believe. I really want to know. And the potency is there. The potency. Over and over again, the potency of Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, the Bhagavat Dharma process of Shravanam Kirtanam has all the potency to take us beyond everything that's temporary. Not because we want to believe, because we want to know. That's an intention, sankalpa. I want to love Krishna. We spoke yesterday about love. To love someone, you have to know that someone. Say the opposite. If you don't know that someone, to say you love that someone, interesting, but what is it really? And to love someone is to know someone. And to love someone that's less than perfect, like, you know, any one of us, how do you love someone that's less than perfect? You love the soul, just like the discussion yesterday. Each one of us, we're spirit soul. So that's where the love goes, and especially among souls, those souls that carry bhakti in their hearts, and we love that soul in particular because of the bhakti that's in their heart, and then part of the package is less than perfect. So our position is to be in service to those that are less than perfect, like ourselves, less than perfect, even doing service that's less than perfect, but for the pleasure of Krishna, because they're dear to Krishna. Now I'll go to the chapter 11 verse that I found was very nice. In that chapter 11 section, it's describing yet another feature of Lord Ramachandra. Here it's about building a bridge and requesting the assistance of the ocean personified to assist him to somehow cross. He didn't have the explicit idea, can you help me float the rocks? He says, can you help me get there? Because between me and Lanka is the ocean, so please, can you be of some assistance to me? He doesn't need assistance. But he is giving the opportunity for the ocean personified to have some exchange with him and some service for him, some glorification of him. Then, so that's a characteristic of Krishna, or a characteristic of Ramchandra, or the characteristic of the lovable object. So that the abode of love can increase their appreciation for the lovable object. In Rupa Goswami's language, these are udipan, they're stimulations of ecstatic love to hear the glories of the personality of Godhead. There has to be some fundamental connection, acknowledged connection, conscious connection, and I wish to know the lovable object. And we hear these glories and it stimulates. So then when Lord Ramachandra or Krishna do something that appears to be ordinary, then the faithless, what do they say about that? Just see, he's ordinary. In fact, he's a defiler of Dharma, or he's a better version of one of us, or something. In one of the earlier verses of this chapter, Prabhupada strongly speaks against some scholar of his time, doesn't give the name, that wrote extensively that Ramchandra is one of us. Scholar. How can a scholar know anything about anything that's transcendental? They can't. So the impertinent, offensive personalities like that, Prabhupada warns, don't hear from them. It's poison. So now, when loving exchanges take place between Ramchandra and his devotees, ordinary people don't understand it. But for the devotee, it's glorious. This one, Ramchandra going to ocean personified. It's glorious. He's exchanging a loving dealing with this nice devotee, the ocean personified. Or the squirrel or the spider, depending which version of Ramayana you read, honoring that little entity doing service to their capacity. He honors his devotee according to their position. Vibhishan, he honors him according to his position. After everybody says whatever they're going to say, he accepts because he's taken shelter of me. I've already accepted him, so whatever your advice may be. In the 11th chapter, following this one, is Ram banishing Sita. No. I've heard people criticize Ramchandra. How can he do that? It's his wife. Or, she's the goddess of fortune. How can he do that? You know, he's wrong. He's making mistakes. Shame on him. As if it's something ordinary. And he's one of us, doing something that one of us shouldn't do. So, then why is he doing these, then there's another one, is why is he doing these things that are showing a bad example? Why does he do that? Krishna's dancing with the gopis and Ramchandra going after Marichi when he knows very well he's not a deer. Why does God make mistakes? You know, and then the traditional, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did God make a mistake? I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a whole book by a rabbi saying, well, he made a mistake when bad things. You know, but that's part of God's capacity. He can make mistakes. He's nice, but sometimes he just doesn't get it right. How to get it right? How to understand Krishna properly or Ramchandra properly? He's transcendental. A fundamental position is he's transcendental, and with his transcendentalness, he does different things with his devotees in exchange with his devotees. The lifting of Govardhan Hill had its exchange with his devotees' purpose for the Brijbasis and for Indra and for Surabhi. It's an exchange with his devotees. And this situation with the ocean personified, the situation with banishing of Sita, and his feelings, both when Sita was kidnapped — this is another really big one for mundane people, scholars — his obsession of lamentation that his dear brother Lakshmana could not relieve him from again and again and again and again. It appears to be so mundane, but it's not. It's transcendental. It's an arrangement for increasing the feelings of transcendental love and separation. And ordinary people can't understand that. You know, oh, come on. He's like us. Look at this. And, you know, long sets of verses and lamenting and carrying on, mode of ignorance. No way. And banishing Sita. Why? He knew, you know, the argument goes, it was already demonstrated way back in Lanka, you know, you have to enter into, you know, I won't accept you because you've been with another man. I'll enter into fire. She entered into fire and came out of the fire. There's a long description of how that transpired, but she already demonstrated her purity. And someone speaking some nonsense, and as goes on in this world, uninformed, blah, blah, and his eternal consort sees that he banishes her. Now, there's many layers of why he did what he did. He was demonstrating this mood of detachment, that for a king, anything that's of his own interest is subordinate to the well-being of his citizens. So what's in the best interest of the citizens? And my own interest is subordinate to that. And another is to enter once again into love in separation. And he was feeling pain of separation, just like Krishna leaving Vrindavan. It's an amazing description found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita of Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. Narada Muni's narrating it, says it's so terrible. Sages don't even want to speak about it, because when people hear about it, they'll think, oh, better not become attached to Krishna because you may have to undergo that. But then he goes on and 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 on, speaking about it, because it's actually transcendental happiness, although it looks like the opposite, devastation. And what's Krishna feeling? Rupa Goswami teaches us in Vidagdha Madhava. He's feeling the same feelings that they're feeling, because it's his nature. The phrase that's used is tasya prema vasyatva swabhava. Prema vasyatva is the phrase that Jiva Goswami discusses in Priti Sandarbha, that it's one of the qualities of Krishna. It's a quality of Krishna that, if we understand it correctly, it stimulates our ecstatic love for him. And that prema vasyatva is that he's controlled by his devotee's love. Now, when the personality of Godhead, here in this case Ramchandra or any of them, are controlled by the love of the devotee. Well, who's in charge? Who's the supreme? And he didn't lose his personality of godhood or his Bhagavan status by that quality of being controlled by the love of his devotee. Recently I was in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and during the weekend, previous weekend, and there was some discussion. I was requested to discuss a section of the Bhagavatam where Lord Narayana comes to the gates of Vaikuntha, where Jai and Vijay have just been cursed by the four Kumaras. And Lord Narayana is so enthused and concerned both by the situation, he just comes. He doesn't take his chapels, he doesn't take Garuda, he just goes there. And Lakshmi comes behind him. And he apologizes, he speaks such beautiful words that pacify and melt the hearts of the Kumaras. Because they're my servants, what they have done to you is my offense, please excuse me. And then he says, you are my devotees, and because you're my devotees, it has made my feet glorious. And because these feet of mine, they're worshipped by great sages and saints and saintly people, the goddess of fortune is at my feet, worshipping my feet, it's because of you. You have made me glorious, my feet. And the Vedas praise, and all over they point to, and it's because of you. You have qualified me in that way. It's a reciprocation. It's a feeling that, in this case, Lord Narayana feels dependent upon his devotee. Or in the case of Sita, Lord Ramachandra is dependent upon Sita. Or any of the other examples. Krishna is feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan. Lord Vishnu speaking to Durvasa Muni that I can't do anything independent of my devotee, Ambarish. I'm dependent upon him. He's the supreme independent. And all these other expressions, just like in chapter 10, here we're hearing the position that Samudra recognizes Lord Ramachandra has. You're the supreme controller. You don't need my help for anything. The rocks will float. And great kings will glorify you forever. What a great, the prowess of kings, they can't float rocks and build a bridge. So it's mythology, right? Well, there's archaeology that says it's not mythology, but it's even the archaeology might not be there. The bridge that goes to Lanka, or the Dwarka that's under the ocean, or any of the other archaeological artifacts. That's not the real verification is the knowledge that's coming in disciplic succession from a Purusheya Shabda, from transcendental sources. And one who places faith in that can know that. And if we don't invest faith in that, we won't. And so how do you get to the place of investing faith? Well, it starts with, I want to know. And unfortunately, we're covered so that even when we're in contact with that which can tell us, we'll still doubt. It's a dilemma. And therefore, Jiva Goswami teaches, we have to do again and again. And therefore, Prabhupada helps us again and again, and again and again, and again, like, okay, okay, I get it. But even then we say, okay, okay, I get it. You know, do we get it? Is our shelter taking fully reposed in the personality of Godhead? Because that's a necessary element in getting lifted, whether it's the process of sadhana bhakti, or it's the process of counseling, or it's the process of having relationships with other devotees that are deep and meaningful. We can say it's, you know, there's a paucity of any one of those things. And a big part of the responsibility lies with us, not what's out there. Krishna will send the resources. They're available. And making them available is a nice service. It's how we can be of best service to others. Making available the resources that connect one with Krishna. And one of the essential resources is what we're doing right now, just hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead, because it helps us become stimulated in our attraction for Him. It helps awaken the desire to know Him in a way that before we heard these messages, we didn't even know much of anything. Maybe some faith, to the degree that there's piety, some faith, and there's a higher reality out there. I'd like to know that higher reality and really just wish to be more comfortable than uncomfortable, largely. Meaning complacency sets in very easily. So that's a concern for those who wish to be progressive. Therefore, the Bhagavatam has it's very full. And in different ways, again and again, the messages are presented. Now, one last point, it's the first part of the purport, and I'll stop. This the word in the verse is ava meham. Last word in the first line. Ava meham. Ava meham, Prabhupada has put, means pollution. But specifically, pollution from the body of Vishrava. Now Vishrava, the father of Ravana, was great personality. And from this great personality came this terrible personality. So the explanation is given that from the genital urine may come and a good son may come. And Ravana is being compared to pollution or urine from the same source. And so his credential was good by birth, and he became corrupted. So much so that he became the source of crying for the three worlds. Awful. In so many ways, awful. Big time lusty, that was one of his big ones. But, you know, murderous and infamous in his dealings with everybody. Pride, arrogance, and, you know, capable of great austerities and proud of the boons that he had gotten and so forth and so on. Several times during the discussion yesterday, the topic of giving care to devotee children was mentioned. And That's a very important part of Krishna consciousness, is producing byproducts is one of the six things that living entities do. Insects do, and snakes do, and birds do, and fish do, and people do. And so getting married and having children, 1, 2, 3. Raising Krishna conscious children, that's a big one. And it's a major project. And it takes, Krishna consciousness to generate that atmosphere where Krishna conscious children can grow. It's a huge topic, so please don't go there with your questions. The parenting topic. Huge topic. You know, children have an attraction to be with other children. When other children do stuff that's not what they learned in home, the saying goes, like water. Water seeks the lowest level. So children may also have a tendency to see someone doing something or eating something or whatever it is, saying something that's not what the values are in the home. So how do you not just teach children good behavior, but build character? It's a whole topic, a huge topic. And then expand it to our seminar topic, you know, counseling. How do we create communities of people that, and I'm a little sharing. I'm a little uncomfortable when this finger-pointing thing goes on saying, you know, there isn't enough of it. You know, look inside and, you know, what am I doing to make that happen? Could I be doing better to make that happen? Rather than saying, you know, somebody out there isn't making it happen. That's just like a gripe that I have. It's something that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur taught. A Vaishnava doesn't do that. A Vaishnava looks within and says, you know, what is there within me that could make the situation different than it is today by the grace of Krishna? How can I be of service to the situation rather than finding fault? It's a higher state of consciousness and a more productive state of consciousness to come together and consider ways that we can be better servants of Krishna and make that which Krishna wants and our founder Acharya wants happen. That's energizing. That's what we're trying to do with this seminar. So, and there, see if there's any discussion. Where's the microphone? How about somebody go get the microphone? Is the amplifier? Is this? If we have it, will it amplify? Or the equipment is up there? Okay. So speak loud. Giridhari, can you speak loud? Okay, how about this?
I have a question about Krishna or the Supreme Person appearing as an ordinary person. And I'm wondering, I guess, and I heard in a previous class that's to attract us to him. He appears the ordinary. There's something endearing about that. I'm wondering what makes that, why is it like when he appears ordinary that it's attractive to us?
One of the attractive features, it is said that one of the attractive features of the pastimes of Krishna and Ramchandra is they appear human-like. And what is it about the human-likeness of their pastimes that make it so attractive? That's your question. Well, it's the feature of madhurya that is different than the feature of Aishwarya. When the Lord, when Hiranyakashipu sees Lord Nrisingadev coming out of the pillar, but he was thinking, well, he has mystic, here's somebody with the mystic powers and I have mystic powers too, I'll defeat them. For others, it's demonstrating that the prowess and the potency of the Supreme Lord. So I can look up to him and go, I should worship him. A little example, in the assembly when Krishna came to offer peace to the Kauravas, they made it a plot, Duryodhana and his buddies made a plot to kill Krishna because the reasoning was if Krishna is killed, the Pandavas will be discouraged, will easily be victorious. That, you know, the problem is over. Just kill Krishna. So they went out of the assembly, made the plot, came back in, and then the signal was given, get him, kill him. So what did Krishna do? He manifested a partial universal form. And everyone went, whoa. But Duryodhana was thinking, it's some mystic power. But for most people, it stopped them in their tracks. The manifestation of opulence invokes awe and veneration and splendor and majesty. And that's one mood of respect and honor to a great person, what to speak of God. More intimate still is when Krishna shows his human-like side, and then that human-like side, although he's showing by lifting Govardhan Hill and all the things that he did in his Vrindavan pastimes, his divinity was being exhibited, but the love is so strong, it allows intimacy of love beyond awe and reverence. So therein lies the attractiveness, the intimacy of love. The risk or difficulty is when he shows his human-like side to think he's one of us. Or it's just mythology, he can't do this. Like a nice one is during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Rath Yatra pastime, he expanded himself into so many Lord Chaitanyas, dancing with each of the kirtan parties, and Prataparudra saw it. The others couldn't see it, because that would then expand their sense of his majesty. But instead they were thinking, he's with us. In fact, each one in the party is thinking, he's just looking at me. He's so attached to me. He has such love for me. And he's reciprocating with their heart. It emphasizes the sweetness aspect of the Lord's reciprocation with each and every one. And they see that way. Mother Jashoda and Nanda Maharaj were not able to see Krishna's divinity, even he exhibited his divinity. Because of that. So it's the sweetness aspect. Madhurya. Of exchange. Very special. And that's the hierarchy of above Devi Dham is Mahesh Dham. Above Mahesh Dham is Hari Dham. The topmost of Hari Dham is Ayodhya, where the personal feature is more strong. And then Goloka Dham, where the personal feature is more strong and more strong and more strong. Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. Although it doesn't take away from his being the source of everything, the personality of God of the absolute truth, it adds to the intimacy and sweetness. of the exchanges of love. That's a long answer. No? Something? Okay. Back to one, two questions back here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. I just wanted a clarification here, like in the Purport, Prabhupada says when a son is a devotee or a great learned person, like we see like Hiranyakashipu also was a great learned person, yeah, Ravana too. So like in what context he means that a great learned person is successful, like a devotee or a great learned person, like.
Let's just get the exact passage. Oh, okay, it's in the very beginning. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. Well, this is by material standard, not by transcendental standard. By material standard, it's successful. When the horoscope of a child is done, will he be wealthy? Will he be learned? It's the material kind of success, as opposed to, in contrast to Ravana, who was learned, but was wicked. If the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, Ravana didn't bring glory to his father. The opposite.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is an online question and they are asking that sometimes we feel internally that we like to be agents of change or what we believe is right rather than finger pointing. However, when trying to discuss such things, sometimes I feel perhaps unencouraged if it's something different or innovative than a traditional approach. Then my enthusiasm reduces or maybe gets restricted and I just try to do it extremely in a small zone of influence. So how to deal with this? Instead of doing a finger pointing, if person is trying to do the things in an innovative way and they are discussing it, sometimes they get discouraged or like, yeah.
I don't know, my understanding is that sometimes one may constructively criticize or see things in a different way or innovating, how can we improve some things. But it appears that the person receives a negative response and the person gets discouraged and rather just keeps those constructive criticism to a limited circle of influence. Yeah, something like that. I think that partly sometimes it's true, sometimes it's hard to receive criticism even if it's constructive. I think that that's, I have been on the receiving end when I have been doing things and then people give feedback. Actually, when we do the course, you all will do the feedback. And sometimes I can feel the pinch. Oh, you shouldn't have done like that. So I can take that. I understand that. At the same time, I think we have to be open to understand that it's not easy. It's easy to point fingers at managers and superiors and all that. But as you mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati points out, okay, what if I would be there? What would I do? It's not easy. It's easy to point fingers, but sometimes on the name of constructive criticism, we just go on trying to change the whole universe and we don't go that far. So I think it's a balancing act to see how much can we contribute actually instead of just what somebody else can do, what can I do? So.
I'm looking at, I want to make sure I capture some one part of the question, online question I think we've missed. A couple of very simple things, that the place from which you're offering constructive criticism is your response or our responsibility. The place should be indeed from the right place. And if it's not, we need to modify and improve. Second is something that Prabhupada speaks about in his writings in Bhagavad Gita. We can have an exchange with someone if the relationship is such that we can give that exchange. Now, he specifically speaks, you can give an instruction, like the three models as one is directive counseling. We can give instruction to someone if we have a relationship with them, where you're the teacher, the parent, the guru, or something like that. The relationship in a formal way is like that. Or the relationship with another person is like that. Where they understand that the place that we're coming from is constructive and we can offer constructive feedback. And then you have to watch, because even they know that and you know that they know that, and still they may have some feelings that then they go into a hurt zone and feel uncomfortable. And but the best friend that we may have is someone who can offer that to us in a genuine way. That's a real friend is one who can do that. And they're willing to do that. And there is some risk, like you were saying, a little, it's delicate and it's a little balance is needed. But when we have such a person or persons in our life, it's the greatest resource, because we're stuck in our own autobiography. We can't see. The phrase that I use is we have blind spots. Every one of us, myself included, that we just don't see because it's a blind spot. And if there's somebody that can offer this, like Anuttama's course that he taught out there in Naperville, appreciation, room for improvement, appreciation kind of feedback, it's great. Then the person that's offering is in the mood of service. The person that's receiving is, well, thank you. And then in practical terms, can you make some suggestions and how I can internally or externally or both improve myself so it changes that dynamic in how I live my life in devotion to Krishna? Now, there was some element in the question that I think we missed, where some people think it's like an unorthodox kind of a message. Doing things differently than usual. Like, some people are traditionalists. Is it like, you know, the liberals and the conservatives, and the conservatives say you have to do things always the same way. And the liberals say you have to be relevant and relatable, and you have to be adapt yourself without changing principles to the changing time and circumstance. And you may have to do things in a new way, like that. And then somebody in that whole dynamic is feeling, oh, what's going on? And feel uncomfortable with the innovation aspect. Yes? This is another classic. Brajavihari gives a whole seminar. He calls it pizza and pakoras. Some people like pizza. And some people say, does Krishna eat pizza? Where do we read in the Bhagavatam that Krishna eats pizza? How can you have pizza? And then you say, no, wait a minute, it's the mode of goodness ingredients, and it's an ethnic food in Italy, and Krishna can eat pizza in Italy. So why he can't eat, because he's God of everybody, he can eat pizza in Chicago. Or India, or, you know, in our lobby there's a pizza stall every Sunday. So how can you have pizza in a Hare Krishna temple? Some people, you know, the innovation. And we want to keep peace in the family. We don't want people to be disturbed. At the same time, we want to be a follower of our acharya and make ourselves, without compromising principle, relatable in the packaging of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada certainly did that. One of the classics was what Prabhupada did going to San Francisco and the Grateful Dead and Moby Grape and whatever are those other groups. And Prabhupada chanted Hare Krishna and gave Krishna consciousness in the midst of that scene. And he was a celebrity. It's certainly out of the mold. So I'll tell a little Prabhupada story and then end on this note. Two of them. Yogeshwara Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, told me these. He was assisting Prabhupada in the Bhaktivedanta manner, and they were having some problem with the neighbors. This is even before the big problem with the neighbors, after Prabhupada departed. Problem with the neighbors. And so one of the devotees got this bright idea, and he gathered the funds to fulfill his bright idea of having a stage where they could have rock music at the Bhaktivedanta Manor property. And the rock music was going on full blast right on the temple property. And Prabhupada was in his room with the windows open chanting japa, and Yogeshwar and he were in the room, just the two of them, if I understood what Yogeshwar said. It was so loud that they couldn't hear their japa. It was loud. And so Yogeshwar didn't know what to do and what to say. Finally he blurted it out, Prabhupada, is this okay? You've spoken so strongly about rock music, and it's a contamination for your disciples that they're attracted to rock music. And Prabhupada stood up and he went to the window, looked out, the windows were open, and saw the stage and the rock band doing their thing. And Prabhupada asked a question, I forget what the question was, something like, is it within the law? Some question like that. And then he said, is there a purpose to appease the neighbors so that the neighbors can understand we're not just strange people, we're one of them? He said, yes, Prabhupada, I think that's the intention. And Prabhupada gave one of these and said, it's all right. And went back and sat down. And Yogeshwar was shocked by the whole thing. You know, so utilizing something in this out of the norm of, you know, middle of the road and tradition, and accepted it right outside his window. Now, he didn't do that in all circumstances, but there's one. Then another one, an out of the norm kind of approach. Yogeshwar told me this story. He was with Srila Prabhupada. They had just opened a temple in Paris. I don't know which one. And he was the translator because he was bilingual, English, French. So he was with Prabhupada. And he asked Prabhupada a question. There was this girl who was French who had been working in somewhere, Bangkok or something like that. And then she came back, she met the devotees, became a devotee, became initiated devotee. And then she contacted her former employer, who was a rich Indian gentleman in Bangkok, and asked the man, would he be willing to sponsor visas and the expense of devotees going to Bangkok and doing a Hare Krishna program? And he agreed. And so she asked Yogeshwar, would you be willing to be, you know, the lead person, the singer and speaker and of this program that this gentleman is willing to sponsor? And Yogeshwar was uncomfortable. So he asked Prabhupada, is it okay? And Prabhupada, his eyes got big and leaned forward and said, you should go at once. And then he said, but Prabhupada, we don't know what standards this man keeps of his eating and his drinking and the company that he keeps. And Prabhupada said, you go on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna will protect you. And Yogeshwar still had some concern. He said, well, you know, there's all kinds of impure activities that we're likely to encounter. Should I take my wife? So he would be protected by being with his wife. And Prabhupada leaned forward again and said, Krishna will not protect you. You need your wife to protect you. Now, traditionalists may not have said yes to an invitation like that. But Prabhupada had faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like sending Lord Nityananda to go to Jagai and Madhai, although they were drunkards, and get them to chant the holy name. So like that. Prabhupada had incredible faith. And he infused his followers with that faith. So there must be, just like the topic, one of the topics from yesterday, we have to know who we are. And there may be areas that we're just not fit to do. And we don't go there because we could fall in the pool and actually do a disservice instead of a service. I'm sure we're going to be hearing something about some of those things as we go along. Because we know what our limitations are. At the same time, following the indication of our founder Acharya, we should have faith that we'll be protected. Because we can be in Maya, or quote, fall in Maya, at any time, in the temple, taking prasadam, doing an arti, or, you know, doing kirtan, or doing Krishna conscious activities, and become proud or lusty or greedy or something. And go out, and there's risk, but there's also protection if we're, the intention is to be in service and an instrument of service on behalf of Krishna. Okay, I'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gotta keep our schedule, sorry.